So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 4, chapter 28, entitled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Text 52. Brahmana uvacha kashyasi kovayam sayano yashyaso chasi janasi kim sakayamam yena greva chachataha. Translation and purport by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmana inquired as follows: Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. Please repeat responsibly. The Brahmana inquired as follows: Who are you? Purport. When a person's relative dies, renunciation is automatically visible. Consultation with a super soul seated within everyone's heart is possible only when one is completely free from the contamination of material attachment. One who is sincere and pure gets an opportunity to consult with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma future, sitting within everyone's heart. The Paramatma is always the Chaita Guru, the spiritual master within, and he comes before one externally as the instructor and initiator spiritual master. The Lord can reside within the heart, and he can also come out before a person and give him instructions. Thus, the spiritual master is not different from the super soul sitting within the heart. An uncontaminated soul or living entity can get a chance to meet the Paramatma face to face, just as one gets a chance to console the Paramatma within his heart. He also gets a chance to see him actually situated before him. Then one can take instructions from the super soul directly. This is the duty of the pure devotee, to see the bona fide spiritual master and consult with the super soul within the heart. When the Brahmana asked the woman who the man lying on the floor was, she answered that he was her spiritual master and that she was perplexed about what to do in his absence. At such a time, the super soul immediately appears, provided the devotee is purified in heart by following the directions of the spiritual master. A sincere devotee who follows the instructions of the spiritual master certainly gets direct instructions from his heart, from the super soul. Thus, a sincere devotee is always helped directly or indirectly by the spiritual master and the super soul. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasadi Paya Bhakta Latabich. If the devotee serves his spiritual master sincerely, Krishna automatically becomes pleased. Yashya Prasada Bhagavat Prasadu. By satisfying the spiritual master, one automatically satisfies Krishna. Thus the devotee becomes enriched both by the spiritual master and Krishna. The super soul is eternally the friend of the living entity and always remains with him. The super soul has always been ready to help the living entity even before the creation of this material world. It is therefore stated here, yena gri vichachakta. The word angry means before the creation. That the super soul has been accompanying the living entity since before the creation. Hare Krishna. So, I'm very happy to be here. Coming to Chaupati Sri Radha Gopinath Temple is actually like going to the spiritual world. Because one can feel the loving relationships. One can feel the very great affection that the devotees have for each other in this temple, which is the common thing in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is so much love between Krishna and his devotees, and between the devotees and other devotees. So, one can feel that love among the devotees in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. So coming here is actually like going back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. I feel very much fortunate to be here again to take the association of such wonderful devotees. So, today's topic, it's very interesting, but I don't know whether I'll be able to present it in a very interesting way. So, the Brahmana is asking these questions. Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. So, spiritual life begins with questions and answers. We see that before the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, the sages in the forest of Namasaranya, they put forward a number of questions to Suta Goswami, and that gave birth to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, when Parikshit Maharaj met Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he also put a number of questions to Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And in answering those questions, the Srimad Bhagavatam manifested. So we can see that in spiritual life, the whole process is questions and answers. That is the purpose of this human existence. Of all the species that have been created by Lord Brahma, the best of the species is the human form of life. Because this species alone has a faculty of inquiring, of asking questions about his environment, about his life, about the world beyond, and so many other things. So, we can see that the Brahmana is asking a number of questions to this lady. Actually, the disciple is supposed to ask questions to the spiritual master. That is the relationship. This disciple asks questions to the spiritual master because the disciple is in ignorance. We are born into this material world completely covered by the three modes of material nature. And so, we're ignorant. But a spiritual master is not ignorant. Because he's not different from the super soul. He's in touch with the super soul, which is an expansion of Krishna. Swamsa expansion of Krishna. So the spiritual master is in knowledge. And that is why Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says that one must approach a spiritual master. By approaching a spiritual master and by inquiring from him, we can gain spiritual knowledge. So the duty of the disciple is to inquire from the spiritual master about spiritual affairs. But in this case, since the woman is not asking questions, the super soul, who is in the form of the brahmana, is asking the lady questions. Sometimes it happens when the disciple is not intelligent enough to ask questions, the spiritual master probes the disciple's intelligence by asking questions. And in this way, the knowledge can be transmitted. So, to go to the purport, Srila Prabhupada, in the very first line, mentions that when a person's relative dies, renunciation is automatically visible. So because we are in such great ignorance, we have so much attachment to our bodies, and we also have great attachment to the bodies that are related to us. Family members, friends, acquaintances, and so on and so forth. We have such great attachment. And in this attachment, every one of us is thinking that we will never leave this material world. Everyone is thinking that I will remain in my own situation forever and ever. So, with this kind of thinking, we never expect that death will come. And all of a sudden, death strikes. And when death strikes, everyone is shocked. In fact, death is always a shocking affair for everyone because it is unexpected. Even though we are seeing that people are dying around us every day, friends, family members, acquaintances are dying every day, but we are thinking that we shall be an exception. Everyone thinks like this. That for me, I'm not party to that. For me, I am not part of this program. I won't die. Otherwise, if we were thinking that we would die, just as Maharaj Parikshit did, we would take the process of Krishna consciousness very seriously. As soon as Maharaj Parikshit heard that he had been cursed by a Brahmana boy to die within 1 week, 7 days, immediately he abandoned his upland kingdom. Immediately, he abandoned his family members. Immediately, he abandoned everything else and went to the banks of the Ganges and seek out a bona fide spiritual master and inquired from him what to do in those circumstances. So, if we were thinking like this, we would take spiritual life very seriously. Of course, you are doing. That is why we are here. So we see that because people are never expecting death to happen, and they are always making so much arrangement to stay in the material world, they are always making so much arrangement to enjoy the material energy, they never think that it will happen to them. And one day it happens. So when this happens, generally people feel a bit detached. They feel, oh, so-and-so has died. He was such a great man. He was such a wonderful person. But now he is gone. Maybe I may be the next person. Maybe it is I'm the next to go. So, at a graveyard or a crematorium, when they see that their friend or their relative's body is nothing but ashes, or is put into the grave for worms to enjoy, then at that moment, they have some sense of detachment. They feel that this whole existence is useless. But this kind of renunciation, detachment, is very temporary, because it is done out of ignorance. It is done out of circumstances. It's circumstantial. It is not done out of knowledge. Anything done out of ignorance or circumstances compel us to do it. We don't do it with some commitment. We don't do it with our heart. We don't do it very deeply. But when something is done out of knowledge, we understand the purpose, the value of it, then we do it with all commitment and all sincerity. So, at a graveyard, at a crematorium, people get very detached, but very soon after that, again they forget. I remember last year, we had, there's one devotee, one of our congregational members, he's in a very top government position. He's the third in command in the customs. You have the director of the customs, or they call them commissioner of customs, and we have the deputy commissioner of customs, and he's the assistant commissioner of customs. He's assistant to deputy. So he's in a very big position, and he's very much respected by his fellow officers, by devotees, by so many people. And unfortunately, last year he lost his son, his first son. Got his liver hepatitis, and left his body last March, last year. And the father said, the family members were against the idea of cremation. They said this boy has to be buried. And the father insisted that so long as I'm a devotee of Krishna consciousness, our scripture recommends that the best way to dispose of a body is to cremate it. So I want to see my son cremated. So we went ahead and arranged for the cremation of his son. And so all the senior officers from his department came. The commissioner came, the deputy commissioners came, all the big guys came. And also he had a friend who is a minister of employment and social welfare. He's a classmate. He also came, along with his friends and advisors. They all came to the crematorium. And you could see how they were all feeling very sober when they saw that this young body lie in a coffin, ready to be set ablaze. We could see all the devotees were watching, the eyes of all these people who were thinking themselves very important. Ministers, commissioners of customs, deputy commissioners of customs. But when they saw that there is another human being without life lying in a box, ready to be cremated, immediately we could see that they were feeling that life is useless. This life is meaningless. Right there at the crematorium, they were feeling like this. You can feel it. Now, of course, it was an opportunity. Normally, before the cremation takes place, because this is not very known, it's not very much common in Africa, we normally explain why cremation. And then it gives us the opportunity to preach about the soul. So that was a ripe moment for us. It was very ripe to deliver the message to all these big guys that you are not this body. Don't think you are that political suit. Don't think you are that executive suit you are wearing. You are nothing but a spirit soul. There is a story that when Alexander the Great came to India, you know, Alexander the Great, he had conquered so many places in the world. He was known to be a very great personality. So when Alexander the Great came to India, he noticed that the Indian people were very brave, yet very friendly. Very lovely. So he integrated himself with the people of India, and he lived here for a while. And then, when he was about to go back to his to Greece, he asked, "Where can I find a yogi?" Because back in Greece, people have heard about yogis. How yogis are very peaceful, how yogis are very powerful, how yogis are very wonderful, very happy. So the people of Greece wanted to have a yogi in Greece. So they told Alexander the Great, "If you go to India, when you are coming back, please bring a yogi from India." So Alexander the Great asked, "Where can I find a yogi?" And then they told him, "You don't find yogis in the city. Real yogis are found in the forest. They're in the caves. If you go to the cave in the Himalayas, you'll find one yogi there, but not in the city." And so he was very eager. He mounted his horse and went right into the forest and looked everywhere, and finally he found one yogi. When he got to see a yogi, the yogi's eyes were closed. He was in deep meditation, enjoying the blissful nature of the soul. The soul has its own bliss, Swarupananda. But even higher than that is Anandamaya, the bliss coming from Krishna, love of Krishna. So this yogi was enjoying the bliss inside. And so Alexander the Great waited until the yogi opened his eyes. So when the yogi opened his eyes, Alexander the Great said, "My dear yogi, please, I've come to invite you to my country. Please come with me to Greece. I will give you anything and everything you need. Just come with me." And the yogi said, "Please, I'm not going anywhere. I'm very happy sitting here. I'm in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I don't need to go anywhere. I'm happy." And Alexander the Great was very angry. Having conquered the whole world, conquered so many kingdoms, and now as a common yogi is refusing to accept his orders, he immediately pulled out his sword and said, "Hey, do you know who you are talking to? I am Alexander the Great. You either accept my instructions, my orders, or I cut you into pieces." The yogi was calm. He looked at the Alexander the Great and said, "Do you really know who you are?" Just like this question here. Who are you? This is the question the Brahman and the Super Soul is asking the lady. Who are you? So the yogi asks Alexander the Great, "Do you really know who you are?" And the yogi thought, Alexander the Great thought, "But what is this? What is this question he's asking me? Who am I? I'm Alexander the Great." The yogi said, "No. You are not Alexander the Great. You are simply a servant of the servant of the servant of my slaves." This is what Yogi told Alexander the Great. "You are not Alexander the Great. You are simply a servant of the servant of the servant of my slaves." Alexander was taken aback. He was shocked. "How am I the servant of the servant of the slaves of this yogi? Can you explain that?" The yogi said, "Yes. I'm seated here. I'm in full control of all the passions. I'm seated here. I'm in full control of anger. I'm in full control of greed. I'm in full control of pride. I'm in full control of all the nasty things that you are serving as Alexander the Great. So, you're nothing but a servant of lust, of greed, of pride, of envy, All these things, you are the servant of these things. So Alexander was shocked. And then furthermore, he said, actually, your eternal position is Jivera Sarupa Krishna Nitya Das. Actually, your eternal position is you are the servant of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the dress of this Kshatriya, of this king, you are thinking, you are the dress. So immediately, Alexander the Great was humbled. Alexander the Great put his sword back and offered pranams to the yogi and left. He went back to Greece without a yogi. He gained knowledge from the yogi. He went back to Greece highly enlivened. So, we all walk around in this world thinking that the world is moving around us. We all walk around this world thinking that we are so important. We think without us the world cannot move. We think without us the sun will not shine. We think without us the moon will not shine. We think without us the air will not blow. We think without us nothing happens. But that is just a big ego, a big bubble. And when death strikes, the bubble is finished. And we are nothing. The world goes on without us. The world goes on without us. Great, great personalities have come and they're all gone. When our first president, Kwame Nkrumah, he brought independence to Ghana. He fought the British single-handedly, just as Gandhi did, and brought independence to Ghana. And so he started so many projects. But somehow he was opposed to America. And they had a battle of words and battle of psychological battle. And finally they got him out. And so on his deathbed he was crying that, "Oh, my Ghana, now I'm dying. What will happen to my Ghana?" And he had a number of projects he started. He started the harbor. "Oh, my harbor. What will happen to my sea harbor I've just started? And then my motorway, he started the first highway. My highway, what will happen to my highway?" And then he started some city. He was building some ideal city. "So, oh, my city, what will happen to all this, my work?" He was thinking like this and he died. So nobody knows what has happened to him. Maybe some... Maybe he has become some rat or some cockroach in one of these places. You know. So, but he was thinking like this, that without me, Ghana will not continue. He was thinking, "I brought independence to Ghana. I drove the British out of this country. I am the savior of this country. Without me, Ghana will not survive." So even though he was dying, he was thinking, "I should not die. I should remain to make Ghana what it should be." But he died. And Ghana has progressed far beyond where he left it. So anyway, this bubble of ego that we all have, always thinking that we are the center of the creation, has to be dissolved. And that can only be dissolved when we sincerely serve the spiritual master. The super soul is the Chaitya Guru. He is within the heart, directing the living entity. And then one day, living entity is ready to receive him, then he appears as a Siksha Guru, instructing Guru. And then when the soul becomes more advanced in Krishna consciousness, then he means the Diksha Guru. Of course, sometimes the Diksha and the Siksha are the same. But in some cases, they are different. So by sincerely serving the mission, the order of the spiritual master, one can dissolve this bubble of ego that is keeping us entangled in this material world. So, and that is what the spiritual master is looking out for. The sincerity of the disciple. The sincerity of the disciple. One may ask, how can we be sincere? The sincerity of the disciple is always being tested by the spiritual master. When the spiritual master gives us some difficult service, when the spiritual master gives us some very, very serious orders, kind of orders we cannot execute seemingly, those are the tests of our sincerity. When everything is going very well, it is not easy to know who is serious and who is sincere. When everything is smooth, when everything is very nice, many people can take shelter. But when there is some challenge, when there is the need to go the extra mile, then you can see who is really sincere, who is prepared to serve the spiritual master. In this regard, I'll tell one small story. My time is almost up. There once, there was a king. He had no child. He had no son. And so it means that he had no heir to the throne. Nobody to inherit the throne when he passes away. So, this king decided to choose the next king from the citizens because he had no son. So he invited all the young boys in his kingdom to come to his palace. And so they all came. And the king gave out to each boy, young boy, some seeds, a pot, and some soil, very fertile soil. And he struck him all of them, please, go back home and plant this seed in the soil in the pot and water it for 6 months. And after 6 months, you all bring your plants back here. Whoever has the best plant will become the king, the next king of this kingdom. So all the boys were very happy. They took away the seeds, they took away their pots, they took away their soil. And everyone was busy trying to become the king. So, after 6 months, all the boys had very nice plants with flowers in their pots, except one. There was one boy who had nothing, no germination. Despite all the effort, he had watered the plant, the seeds, he had done everything possible, but the seeds did not grow. And he was feeling very bad, he was feeling very remorseful, he was feeling very sad that everybody else's seeds had germinated except him. Nevertheless, when the D-Day came, all the young boys assembled at the palace of the king with their nice plants. And the boy, of course, also carried his empty pot without plants and also went to the palace, feeling in his heart that he's going to receive the heaviest chastisement from the king because everybody else has plants except him. So, when they got there, everybody, those with the plants, they were very eager. They knew that somehow one of them is going to be the king. So they were very excited. And then the king looked around and he saw only this boy with the empty pot. So he ordered him in a very strong voice, come forward. He came forward and the boy was shivering, knowing that now my time is up. Now I'm going to face the firing squad. Because I'm the only one left out of all these boys. I don't have a plant. It means I'm not very serious. So the king called him forward and said, look, all these people have plants in their pots except you. Why you don't have a plant? And the boy humbly said, oh, my dear Raja, I tried my best. I did everything possible. I used the same soil. I used the same pot. I used the same seeds. I used the same water. I put the same effort. No germination. So what can I do? I've done my best. And the king kept silent. And everybody was silent. Everybody just waited to hear the response of the king. And then the king said, yes, you are going to be the next king. Everyone was surprised. Here, I have such a nice plant with flowers and fruits. And this man has nothing and he's the next king. Why? And the king said, yes, he's a very sincere person. When I gave all of you the seeds, they were all dead seeds. I boiled the seeds, I killed the embryo inside, and I gave them to you. So I expect that none of the seeds should germinate. But because you're all crooked, because you're not sincere, you have gone to find some other seed somewhere, and you have germinated that, and you want to deceive me. Sorry, get out. This is your next king. Hare Krishna. So if we are sincere with the spiritual master, actually the spiritual master is not looking for the result of our activities. He's looking for our sincerity, our effort, our commitment, our consistency. This is what the spiritual master is looking out for. So thank you very much for allowing me to purify myself. Hare Krishna. I'm sure there are no questions. Well, if there are some comments, accept it. Yes, Prabhuji. Question or comment? Well, there are some devotees there. If you fire me, they can help me out. They can save me.
Prabhuji, you were saying that... thank you first for your wonderful class. And you were explaining how we have to show our sincerity to our spiritual master. And but sometimes what happens is that since we are particularly grahasthas or trying to be grahasthas, we have this propensity to keep money for our future requirements, and somehow we always take the help of scriptures, and Rupa Goswami tells that we can keep aside 25%. But in these days of great insecurity, we always are worried whether that 25% will be sufficient for us for the future, whole life. And this anxiety is always there. We are trying to surrender, but this anxiety is there in our heart. So what should we do? How do we...
Prahlad Maharaj has said that I've learned one thing from my spiritual master, that in this material world there's always anxiety. This is what Prahlad Maharaj told his father. He said, my demonic father, best of the asuras, I've learned one thing from my spiritual master, that in this material world there is always anxiety. There are two worlds. One is Vaikuntha and one is Kunta. Vaikuntha means without anxiety. That is the spiritual kingdom. But we have left that place. We try to imitate Krishna. We want to compete with Krishna. We left that place. And Krishna has given us this place. Kunta. Anxiety. And Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Mambo Petriya Puna Jarma Du Kalayam Ashaswatam. So can we be free in a place of Du Kalayam? Never. So that anxiety is always there. Even the richest man has the greatest anxiety. That is certain. Last year, we had an opportunity to be in America. And I met one devotee who knows Bill Gates. And he was telling me a story about Bill Gates. Bill Gates is one of the top, if not the richest man in the world today. So much money he has. Microsoft business magnate. Says Bill Gates, his anxiety is that he has no freedom. Now he has the money, unlimited. He gives so much money for AIDS in Africa. Every year he's giving whether it's 20 million or 20 billion, I don't know. So much money he gives to Africa for AIDS. But his anxiety is that he has no freedom. Wherever he goes, security are following him, advisors are following him, family members are following him. He has no freedom. He wants freedom. So that is anxiety. So everybody in this material world has some anxiety. Everyone has his own anxiety. So according to that devotee, he says sometimes Bill Gates will wait when all his family members are taking rest. He would disguise himself. He would give up all his rich clothes, wear some sporting dress, track suit, pass back at the house, charter a taxi, and go to some drinking bar where he can be by himself. Because he's always surrounded by people. Business partners, security, this, that. He has no freedom. He wants freedom. See, so the anxiety is there. Some anxiety is always there. Because this is a well of anxiety. So, how can this anxiety come to an end? By taking shelter of the spiritual master. By taking shelter of Krishna. So, Rupa Goswami, Sripad Rupa Goswami has given the formula. It says 50% for Krishna service, 25% for family members, 25% for personal needs. It is very difficult, definitely, in this age of Kali, because of the insecure situation. But then, if we can follow that instruction, gradually we will begin to experience a different dimension of happiness. And this fear, anxiety, and insecurity will go. A great Acharya, Rupa Goswami, has given the rule. And if we just execute it, the anxiety, the fear, the insecurity will all go. Because gradually we will taste Krishna consciousness, and once we taste Krishna consciousness, every other thing becomes very insignificant. Very, very insignificant. Without Krishna consciousness, there are so many important things. But as soon as we start tasting Krishna consciousness, everything becomes very insignificant. Thank you very much. Tantra Shrima Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Radha Gopinath Samanji ki. Hare Krishna.